David, it's
always
great.
Welcome
to
a joke.
Oh yeah, never. You can never have too many. That's great. Well, you know, I'm fascinated by you, David. I really am, because as I've been reading about you this afternoon, and your book, obviously, you start off as a Mennonite. I was fascinated by the Mennonites. Who are they, and what was that?
Well, they came originally from around Bern, Switzerland, and then also to Luxembourg, things like that.
Yeah.
My last name, Aisha, or it can be pronounced in French, because there's a lot of French and German living there. So the French is Aisha, or Aisha.
Yeah.
They were Anabaptists. In other words, they helped a lot of people get into safety, like during World War II, during the slavery things in the United States. They just been there for 500 years doing that. But they're very, very conservative people, very conservative mores and everything like that. And they speak Schweizerdeutsch also, which you don't want to be speaking in Berlin streets, for example, however.
Right.
But they're a more conservative group, associated a little bit more liberal than the Amish. And I can imagine you what the Amish are also.
Yes.
Their good points are they're nonviolent. In other words, they believe in supporting the war effort if it is just, like in World War II,
yeah.
But they're just not fighting and killing. Instead, helping the oppressed and helping any way they can with that, with medics and stuff like that, you know. Unfortunately, nowadays, with all this things going on in our country here with the immigration, they sort of turned their back on that. I'm really disappointed in that, you know. They had a cappella singing in their churches, no instruments, and so that was sort of a conflict with me when I started playing piano, and I realized that this wasn't going to really work, you know.
You should have gone to the Pentecostal church.
they're some more on the quiet side than Pentecostal, but
yeah.
Yet they're, as I said, extremely conservative, you know,
yeah.
And not really involved in politics, or they used to not be. They're more getting mainstream now also, too. But the one thing about them is they have a real big taboo on various forms of sex and procreation. They really want you to marry young and have lots of kids, which is what they learned from the Catholic Church, because the more kids and the more people marrying, the more fold, the more money, you know? But they do love good food.
Oh,
so
well, there you are.
Thing. And that part of the country where they came from is some of the most artery-clogging food in the world, but also it's just wonderful, too.
Lovely. Sounds like my type of food. How has that had an effect on the rest of your life? Do you still have a faith? Do you still, are you rebelling against it?
I can't say really rebelling. I just, through experience of life and a good fortune to be able to have spirituality come to me. I certainly am a spiritual person, but I just don't revolve as much around the Mennonites or organized religion in general. You know,
yeah.
I guess if I were to be coined, I could say, well, I would associate with the Unitarians, which some people say is one foot in hell.
Right.
But, very liberal views of life. I try to be kind. The whole book is basically, it's a pretty lively because I had so many different scenes that I was involved, like 9 different ones,
yeah.
All integrally involved, and a lot of people, and I'm always kind with people, and in the book I'm respectful. There's some adult scenes in the book, and there's some pretty wild and crazy stuff, but, you know, I was always respectful of everything, and the whole thing basically is you can be a rock star without being a jerk, and it's possible. And a lot of my friends in the business who are very famous, much more famous than I am, are like that. They're high energy, they're kind, and they're interesting, and I can learn from them.
Absolutely. Now, am I right in saying that it was a piano that you first started on? Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, it was. My parents started me on a little acrosonic piano, a little music teacher, and all those composers look so old and moldy. I was taken aback with wonderful when I saw how they were young once and how wonderful they looked, you know. And then at some point in elementary school, I became a proficient. My father got a hold of a Steinway Grand, and I came home, and it just blew my mind. And it turned out it belonged to President Grant, the one who was the reunion Union leader during the Civil War belonged to wow. his son, and they lived in a mansion in Sarasota, Florida, where I was from. And eventually we got the piano, and it's absolutely remarkable, you know?
It sounds it really does.
Gypsy Rose Lee used to play on the piano, so it's got a real history to it, you know?
Real heritage, yeah. And I'm really fascinated by the fact that you play different instruments. Are you one of these people that make me sick, David?
No.
You can put your hand to it and you learn it quickly.
I have a love of music. I started violin, and, you know, it just didn't work for me. For some reason, and when I was having a lesson, and when you start to get a cold, you start to get sick and a fever, anything screechy in your ears does not sound good. And I just came home and I said, I can't do this anymore. So I took up bassoon. I actually played professionally for quite a while. It's sort of a weird instrument. And I just heard a concert with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, and the contrabassoon is not a loud instrument, but I'm telling you, does it ever cut, and it is ever sinister. And so I sort of jokingly enjoyed that. But I could also blow smoke through it and make it like a bazooka, too. And then with my high school band, I played bagpipe, which is a wonderfully exciting instrument. When I was in Scotland, my high school group was the first and only, to this day, high school music group to extensively tour Europe and the UK. And it was the proceeds partially that got us over there from proceeds from the James Bond movie, Thunderball. And we all converged to high tea at Georgina McKinnon's of Drambuie there. And like Mr. Connery and Albert Broccoli and some bunch of Bond girls were there. It was absolutely amazing. But the bagpipes over those Scottish moors and with the mist are such a thrillingly exciting and actually very frightening instrument, because it greatly expands how much you think an army is going to be coming across the hills at you, you know?
Yes.
And so I did our synthesizers. I had a great classical career going. And I studied with this teacher that studied with Vladimir Horowitz, and he was a very famous celebrity pianist. He had all kinds of friends that we all got to know. He was very friendly. People like Pavarotti, Maria Callas, Leonard Bernstein, Martha Argerich, Rock Hudson, Anthony Perkins, even Natalie Wood. And so I enjoyed working with him very much. But then somebody took me to see Pink Floyd, and yes, and it was like, you know, I don't regret it to one second, because I knew that synthesizers were sort of in their early stage, like the Model T car, but I knew that eventually they would be going somewhere. And right now, after going to my last big expo in Los Angeles, the big NAMM show, oh boy, they're progressing to the point that they're really becoming a very legitimate and exciting instrument now. And wow. So I'm so glad I did it. And a lot of my classical things are sort of going toward that now, because you could make them larger than life, you know?
Now, as I say, you've gone across so many genres, and we've also just tell us a little bit about what you listen to. You mentioned Pink Floyd there. Because you're involved with classical and rock and all this, what is it you listen to generally at home or when you're in the car?
You know, the great, and he's a good friend of mine, we have a birthday at the same time, the great producer Jack Douglas, who did Cheap Trick and Aerosmith and all those people, is about going to do another one with them. He told me once, he said, you know what, classical music is still the greatest, you know?
Yeah.
And I agree with that. So I listened to some classical music. In New York, when I was there as a recording artist, I hardly listened to any rock music, because I'm like a sponge. I mean, just out of my own self, for some reason, I came up with a riff from one of Elton John's songs that I thought was completely original, but I must have heard it somewhere. And so I listen to a lot of eclectic things. I'm a little bit bored with this sort of real slow jazz, except one of my best friends is Kelly Minucci, who's one of the best smooth jazz players in the world. And that's smooth jazz with steroids on it, because it's absolutely amazing. So I go all the way from that. I'm a sucker for a great tune. Some of my colleagues in the Lower East Side, when I was with that CBGB band, said, oh, you can't like Barbra Streisand. Heck yeah, I do. I'm a sucker for a great song. And it is one wonderful performer. And so whoever really floats my boat, and of course it's like food, I have tasted very indifferent stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's great to, and also what I do want to ask you about is how you actually got in and actually played the keyboard for Ram Jam.
Oh, Yeah, that was more of a guitar-oriented band. There's a long story about it, about the band, actually, which I'll reserve for the book. You got to read it in
book. Yeah.
You know, it has its ups and downs, however. But it was a real pleasure. My lead singer, Sherwin Ross, is making movies now. We're getting up there a little bit, but he looks great. He's going to be in one of the Disney movies coming out in the holidays. And he was, you know, nothing like working with a lead singer that is not only dynamic, charismatic, incredibly good-looking, but as soon as he walks off stage, is a real kind gentleman.
Yeah.
And that was lots of fun. And we really, it was a thrilling song to play, and you know, wherever we traveled, I never got tired of it. Also, and of course in the Midwest the audiences were some of the best. They really know rock and roll, you know. And I'm glad to have played it. I love the power of rock and roll. And some of my other friends like Jordan Rudess and Dream Theater, I'll always go see them. They're absolutely amazing. There's maybe 2 million notes played in the course of 5 minutes, you know, but it's still a very exciting show.
Did you get involved with the kind of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll side of the lifestyle of a rock star? Because I think it's very different to the classical music scene, I imagine.
I would be dumb not to delve. It's a real power trip, and it can easily get out of hand, and it has many times. And I resolved the fact, number one, that I wouldn't push anybody down on the way up. Sometimes you have to leave somebody go, but just to actually push them down, no. However, I mean, the beautiful women, I always tried to avoid the groupies because they all had issues. They expected you to be a jerk, and if you didn't act like a jerk, they got up mad at you, you know. And so I always meet people, and to this day, even some of my fans with Rex Smith, who are basically tweens and teens, very respectful of them, no hanky-panky, but still, I would sign autographs and talk with them and write them, and so, you know, that kind of thing is wonderful to do, and yeah, all the wonderful places, I love to travel, I just do not get fatigued. Some people get homesick, you know. We had a lead singer that got homesick when we went to Naples, Florida, on a beach town. It's like, what? You know, but me, I love to travel, I love the different lifestyles, and of course, the beautiful ladies, and I treated them with respect, and we're still friends.
Yes.
When my book was announced on Facebook, most of the people who gave me congratulations were women, because I have never abused that, you know? But sure, there's nothing like being able to like meet and enjoy what a lot of people have, and then contribute back as well, you know?
Well, David, I think that this is possibly one of the most energetic interviews I've ever done. You just...
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
the energy just seems to exude from you. It really does. And if the interviews are meant to go by, I think you're going to get a lot of people buying the book. That's for sure.
Well, if you heard me talk, one of my neighbors read it, and he said, you know what? Reading the book sounds exactly like you talk. And so that's a pretty good testimony. That's a really good compliment. I really have to thank him for that, you know?
Well, I've got to say, as an interview goes, you're listenable. And I don't want to patronize you by saying that. You're just full of energy, and I can see why you. I think, you know, I look at your life and I think if I was just to have 10% of the things that you've done, I'd be quite happy.
Some of these things I'm associating with Studio 54.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hit Factory, I was the recording artist there, and all the new keyboards that would come in, and they had a good relationship with 54, which is right across the street. My teacher's wife lived with Andy Warhol for a while, and I was part of that whole scene where he'd come in with entourages of Halston, yeah, and Truman Capote, Liza Minnelli, Lorna Luft, Bianca Jagger, and in the book there's some startling things that happened in there that very few people have known that I was there for. And of course you had the Rolling Stones, you had John and Yoko. She always had the most wonderful green tea, the most wonderful ginger, and any sushi she had left over, what she'd give to us, and it was really nice. A real workable scene. Most of the big hit people were recording there. So that was exciting.
Wow.
And so much about that, so much about interesting people that I met, and you know, I resolve myself, if they're a jerk, I don't want to know them. If they're nice and interesting, I do want to know them, you know?
Well, listen, David, thank you for coming on. I could be chatting with you all afternoon. Really could. I love it. The book's called How Life Spirits Me from Mennonite to Mennonite, and we really
one last thing. Mennonite, yeah. Mannonite is not a ghoul. A Mannonite has to do, and I sum it up at the end, has to do more with the wonderful entertainment medium that the evening makes. Yeah. So thank you so much for the interview. I appreciate
Lovely.
It.
Lovely. Thank you for coming
Thanks
on.
To all my friends in Europe and the UK also, too.
Thank you very much, David. All the very best with the book. Thank you for coming on. Cheers.
And you too. Thank you.